Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we are grateful that we get to study God's Word today, that Christ is our living hope, grateful that we have the privilege to worship the Lord today in freedom. Today is Veterans Day, and we're grateful for the freedom that we have. You know, one of the unique, this is really unique to this nation, and that is that we have religious liberty. We can worship the Lord of our own free will. I think there are those that want to erode that away, but praise the Lord, we can gather in here today freely, and we can worship our Lord Jesus Christ without fear of some type of attack or anything like that in the sense of the government. And we're grateful for that, and we have that, ladies and gentlemen, because there have been those that have gone before us that have served and defended this nation. And today is the day in our country that we celebrate that. On my desk is one of my prized possessions. It is a letter from Donald McClellan, who was a major, a commanding officer, and he wrote my dad a letter. When my dad got out of World War II, my dad was in World War II for about 3 years solid in the Pacific, and he has several stars and ribbons and things he earned because he was in the Battle of Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, the Battle of Japan, the Battle of Saipan. He was a participant as a support person, a crew chief working on airplanes in those days. And in that letter, it's written to my dad, and he says, "You are a credit, and on behalf of a grateful nation, we salute you for your service to this country." And I can't help but think that the blessings that we have in this world today in our country are a direct result of those that have given their time and sacrifice. I heard a phrase that was used that you've probably heard: all gave some and some gave all. There are those that gave their lives that we might be able to worship freely. We might have the nation that we have. I just wonder if you are presently serving, or if you are a veteran, you have served our country in any way in the military, would you just stand right now? If you're here today, just stand. Can we just thank these people? Look at this. Wow. Wow. Thank you. You may be seated. I tell you, what a treasure. And I would just say to my generation, and you know, the draft, everyone had to register. Still do, right? But I was not drafted. I came to UF right out of high school, and there's a little part of me that wishes I could say that I went in and did 4 years, because I've seen the caliber. Listen, I've seen the caliber of men that serve this country, and the patriotism and the pride that they have. And as a pastor, I've always tried not to make because let me say this: the gospel and our citizenship in heaven is number one. Amen. Because, listen, there are people for whom Christ died that don't have a country like we do, and they're all over the world. And to be honest with you, in light of eternity, having faith in Christ is infinitely more important than living in a free country. But having said that, are we not blessed to live in a free country? And having said that, I've always felt like it was part of my charge as a pastor to share with the generations that haven't served as readily, and then to our young people and our college students and young people just to be grateful. You never go wrong, listen to me, you never go wrong with gratefulness. And you go to some of our special places in our country, memorials, cemeteries, and it just you just realize that there were those who paid a tremendous price so that we have the joy and the blessings that we have today. So I just want to say to all of you that stood, thank you so much. I want to encourage each of us to have a grateful heart for those that have served the Lord. I'm proud of everyone in my family. My father-in-law served in the Army right out of college. Others, we've had testimonies of our people. Brother Fred shared his testimony. He served in Vietnam. We have others that have served the Lord and served our nation, served the Lord while they served our nation, and we're grateful and thankful for each and every one of you. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. Amen? Can I tell you this? All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some in our fellowship are single. Some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Some wish they had kids. Many in this congregation today, most I would say probably in this congregation are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. That's why we're here. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus Christ is wonderful. We've been singing about him today, and I'd like for us to study God's word as we look into Scripture today. Would you pray with me as we commit this time to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we come to you and praise you and thank you that we have the joy of studying your word today. I pray that you might anoint and bless this time in a very, very special way. I thank you for the words of Scripture, how that they give insight for life. They are the owner's manual of how to live in this world. Lord, help us to hold on to your word in a world that has shifting sands and shifting foundations. Lord, I pray that we would stand strongly upon your word today. So we love you, Lord, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is entitled Joy in Faithful Friends. Now, this book we're studying in the book of Philippians is all about joy, and it's all about unity. Evidently, Paul, who was in a Roman prison, had heard that there was disunity in a church he had founded. And so he wrote them a letter. He sent Epaphroditus to send that message back to this church. Epaphroditus had evidently told them all kinds of struggles that the church was having. And so Paul was giving them directives about how to have unity. He was telling them to be obedient, work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. Let the word of God change them from the inside out. And that's what the Christian life is. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is not us trying to work our way to heaven. The Christian life is a relationship. It's getting the God of heaven into the man on earth. If you work from the outside in, that's rehabilitation. If you work from the inside out, that's transformation. And that only happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? And I just want to slow down because I get excited about it. I just want to tell you this. Paul shifts gears here. It's almost like he just puts a parenthesis in these verses of Scripture from chapter 2, verse 19 to chapter 2, verse 30. He shift, he shifts gears a little bit. He's going to send Epaphroditus with this letter, and he starts talking about them. And all of a sudden, I think what happens is he realizes that these two guys are his faithful companions, faithful friends, and he realizes that everything he's been telling the Philippian church about being obedient, about being of one mind, of one love, he all of a sudden realizes, almost like a light comes on, he goes, hey, I've got that in two guys. And so he's been talking to us about, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. One of the key passages theologically in the whole Bible is the beginning of chapter 2. He's been talking about that, but as he begins to describe these guys that he's going to try to send, and then Epaphroditus who he will send, I think a light comes on and he realizes, man, these guys are great examples of letting the mind of Christ be in you. And so we learn about the kinds of friends that we should have. And we learn about the kind of friends that we should be. Have you ever wondered, I want to make good friends. I want to have good companions. I like the word comrade. That's always been a favorite of mine, as the idea of a comrade. I need some comrades to come alongside me. When I gave my life to Christ, there were some young people, some seniors in high school, some juniors in high school, that they sort of captured me for Christ. Church family, that's what we need to be doing. We meet new people. When people give their lives to Christ, like these precious girls that did, boy, I know that our college students are doing this, and I know they have a web of friendships, but I'm praying that we would capture them for Christ and encourage them in Christ, because that encouragement, those friendships, make all the difference in the world. And so we learn a little bit about what it means to be a good friend today in our passage. So I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and following. And for me to do that, I got to find it, right? Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I'm going to read it out loud. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. They wanted Paul to come. Verse 25, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. That'd be a great middle name right there. Epaphroditus. I love that. Okay, to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. That means that death and he, his sickness, they were next door neighbors. That's what that word means. He was sick almost unto death. It means that death and him were next door neighbors, okay? But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. I want to give you just two main points. How do you hammer out friendship? Well, I want you to know that it's hammered out, first of all, number one, on the anvil of character. Character. Your friends should have character, and you should be a friend with character. Now, I have several things that kind of summarize the qualities of these two guys. The first thing is this under the title of character. Number one is shared commitments. In verse 20, he's talking about Timothy. He says, but I have no one like-minded. That phrase means shared commitments and burdens. He's giving us the intent to say that, Timothy, I'm going to try to send him to you because here I have no one like-minded, no one who has shared commitments and shared burdens, a vision for what life is all about, a shared commitment. And I pray that you would have a commitment to God's Word, God's ways. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so one of the main qualities of your character ought to be with those that you have hammered out friendship on that anvil is the anvil of character, shared commitments. The second one is, he says, genuine care. It says, who will sincerely, this is in verse 20, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. The word sincerely is a deep word that really relates to birth. It's almost like the sincerity is like they are like a family member. Now, Timothy was not a family member of Paul, and yet he called him many times in Scripture a son. He was like a son in the Lord. Well, he uses this word sincerely. Who will sincerely care? That phrase, sincerely care, is a word related to birth. It's a word really related to like wedlock. It's like he says in the Scripture, he says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. He says that in many of his passages when he writes about Timothy. He had a true concern for others that was second nature in his genuineness. So one of the things that you should think about for yourself, and you should be thankful if you have a sincere friend. They're so sincere and they're so genuine in their love that it's almost like they're a relative. They were born into your family. And then the third thing is character when tested. Not only shared commitments, not only genuine care, but character when tested. Because it says there in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. Look back at verse 4 of our chapter. In chapter 2, he's about to go into the passage about Christ. And he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So that phrase is almost identical in our passage there in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. That's the same wording. And then it says in verse 22, it says, but you know his proven character. Character when tested. The word proven there means like tested in battle. Tested in battle. Character is not just what others know about you. Character is what God knows about you when no one's looking. And so proven, he says, Timothy was proven. He was tested in battle, and he is for real in verse 22. The story is told of a musician, a very popular singer who came to know Christ, and he went to his pastor and he said, I've become a Christian and now I want to start a new ministry. What should I do? He said, well, does your wife know the Lord? He said, well, no. He said, she doesn't know the Lord. He said, well, the pastor said to him, well, you probably ought to spend your time trying to talk to your family and to your wife and make sure they know what it means to know Christ. And the man said, but don't you know kind of who I am? I mean, I'm a famous person. I'm wanting to start a ministry. And he said, well, I would suggest to you that you get involved in the church and you get plugged in somewhere and serve the Lord through your local church before you and begin to grow before you go out and start this big ministry. But he wanted to start an organization, and so he did. And it didn't last more than a year. Someone has said it this way, his branches went out further than his roots went deep, and eventually he toppled over. Timothy was not that way. Timothy was proven. He was rooted deeply into the work, and so because of that, his character was powerful. Another quality is loyalty. In verse 22, it says, he served me in the gospel, in a humble manner. We find that Timothy had come to know Christ at Lystra, Lystra and Derbe. Back in, I think, the 12th chapter of Acts is when they believe that when Paul was there in those towns that he young Timothy was led to the Lord. But then later in the second missionary journey, Paul noticed Timothy, and in Acts chapter 16, he was back in Philippi, and Paul took Timothy. Paul was there with that town, and he and Paul was in prison there in Philippi. And so why did Paul, as he's talking about character, and he talks about his loyalty, he talks about his shared commitments, his genuine care, his proven character, why did he stop and all of a sudden talk about Timothy in this way? Well, I just believe that as he was describing sending this letter back, he realized, man, I have got a couple of really powerful friends that are loyal and are an example to this church. And so he started writing about it. That's why the writing here just seems a little bit different. He was giving commands in chapter 1 and commands in chapter 2. And then all of a sudden he just starts describing these two guys. And so he goes into it with them. Now, Epaphroditus also had those qualities of character. He loved the people. Look at verse 26. He's talking about, well, let me read verse 25. Yet I considered all necessary. I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Epaphroditus had come from Philippi to bring an offering to Paul in Rome. And the people had sent Epaphroditus there, and Paul had gotten to know him, and he said, he came here to serve to my need. In verse 26, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, he was longing for you. He had an earnest desire for the people. He loved the people. It's a great quality, a great character quality, is to love people and to love the gospel work in people. He worried about them. In verse 26, since he was longing for you and he was distressed, he was worried about them, because they knew that he was sick. Word had gotten back that Epaphroditus was sick. And in verse 27, it says this, for indeed he was sick almost unto death. They were neighbors. He, Epaphroditus, and death were neighbors, is the way that is worded there in the original language. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So it was very emotional. It was very emotional for Paul as he talked about Epaphroditus. So the first thing in friendship is you as you think about the qualities of friendship, the first one is hammered out on the anvil of character. I would say look for friends that have that type of character, and then you become a friend to others with this type of character. Here's the second thing. Not only are friendships shaped on the anvil of character, but number two, they're shaped on the anvil of ministry. Because in verse 25, it says this, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. One of the qualities of ministry is faithfulness. It says in verse 22, he served with me in the gospel, talking about Timothy. Look at verse 22, but you know his proven character. He's referring to Timothy in this verse. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Faithfulness, all right? The second part of ministry, you ready for this? Willingness. Not just faithfulness, but willingness. In verse 23, Paul says, therefore I hope to send him at once. The assumption is, as soon as I'm ready to let him go, I'm going to send Timothy. He's my best. As soon as I'm ready to let him go, I'm going to send Timothy. Well, it's a given that Timothy was willing to go. He had followed the Apostle Paul. He had ministered with the Apostle Paul. He had gone with the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. And so he says, I hope to send him. Paul sent his best, and that was Timothy. And Timothy was willing to go. Very, very important. Now, Epaphroditus was sent in verse 25. And Epaphroditus came from Philippi to Paul, and Paul sent him back. Aren't you thankful he had someone to send? He had someone faithful to send. Willingness. Are you willing, Lord, to send, to be sent? Isaiah got a picture of the Lord and he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." There's a lot of us believers that are willing to gather. We're willing to celebrate the Word of God. We're willing to sing. We're willing to hear preaching. Let me swallow hard and say this. We're willing to preach. But there's not many willing to go. Isn't it great to have somebody you can send? That's a quality of ministry that is hammered out on an anvil of ministry that is about being willing to go. The third thing under ministry is they were stakeholders in the work. In verse 25, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker." He was a fellow worker. And Timothy is described as a fellow worker. He was a stakeholder in the work. It wasn't that Paul did the work and they just hung around. No, they did the work as well. And he calls him a soldier. He says he was in verse 25, he was a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. By the way, the Christian life is viewed, we're talking about Veterans Day today, the Christian life is viewed, a believer is viewed in many places in Scripture, the picture is that of a soldier. We're in a spiritual war. Folks, listen, you know, the saddest thing in the world would be to get up every day of your life, go make a paycheck, come home, buy groceries, go to bed at night, get up and do the same thing every day, and live your entire life thinking that that's what life is all about. Can I tell you something? That's part of it. You've got to go and earn a living. You've got to go buy groceries. You've got to live. You got to, you know, I heard one preacher say that he said to college students one time, he said, "You know, most of you, your dream is to eventually buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house and a Ford Explorer." He said, "Let me turn you on to the greatest dream of all. The dream that you are a part of God's mission in the world, carrying the gospel to people." And ladies and gentlemen, listen, we have bought into an American kind of a Christianity that just thinks that Christianity is just going to church. No, you're a soldier. You're in a battle. Old Junior Hill, he preached here one time. Y'all remember Junior Hill coming? Junior Hill was a preacher, and he came here and stood up here and gave the gospel. We had many people saved that day. Junior Hill used to preach a message, and he'd end it like this. He'd talk about he was a soldier of Jesus Christ from 2 Timothy. He'd end it like this. He said, "Private First Class Junior Hill reporting for duty, Lord." You know, every day of your life, can I tell you something? The greatest thrill is to get up and report for duty for the Lord Jesus. Well, these guys, he's describing them as a soldier. You know that 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." If you are so entangled with things, if you have so many encumbrances in this world that you could not obey Jesus Christ if he gave you a command, as your commanding officer, can I suggest this to you? You're too entangled. Because no one who is a soldier entangles himself so much in this world that he cannot fulfill what the commanding officer tells him to do. So these guys were fellow soldiers. Not only were they're helping Paul, but they were in the work. Can I ask you a question? Are you in the work? Am I in the work? Are we really in the work? You know, we have a consumeristic way of looking at church. Now, when I get real strong in that thing, my dad-in-law tells me, he goes, "You know, if you're teaching and you're preaching, you're pouring it on. When you go to meddling and really preaching hard, you're rubbing it in." That's what he tells me. Well, I want to rub it in just a little bit on myself, and I want to rub it on you. there are too many spectators and not enough participants. These guys were not spectators. These guys were participants in the work. And so you see them in ministry, faithfulness, willingness, stakeholders in the work. And then the last thing is sacrificial in their service. In verse 30, it says he came close to death. Because of the work of Christ, he came close to death. It said in that verse 27 that death and him were neighbors, talking about Epaphroditus. And in verse 30, it says, not regarding his life. The words not regarding is like not risking. He was willing to risk, not worried about risking his life in order to sacrifice in service. And then I want to conclude by just saying this to you. Well, that was a good fight song, whatever that was. Man, was that the Gator fight song? I tell you, we ought to have that. We should have played that today after that game yesterday. But anyway, all right. Now, how'd y'all get me off on that? Anyway, all right. Okay, so let me tell you how to respond when you have someone like this. Hey, can I tell you something? Look at me. If you have a friend that's a faithful, loyal friend, you're a very wealthy person. You're a rich man. You're a rich woman. If you've got friends like this, joy in friendship. He even says to receive them with gladness in verse 29. It's joyful when you've got friends like this, and it's joyful when you can become a friend for somebody in this way. Here's what he says in conclusion in verse 29. He says, receive them, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. Receive them. Be grateful for them. And then I love this last phrase in verse 29. And hold such men in esteem. That word esteem means to hold them in honor, to value them highly, to deem them precious. I tell you one thing, through the years, I've had some men in my life, some families in my life that have come alongside us as a family. And I tell you, they've been faithful, they've been true, they've loved us unconditionally. Can I tell you this? I don't know that we've always esteemed them like we should. Paul is saying that Timothy was that type of friend, Epaphroditus was that kind of a friend, and he says, when they come to you, you should esteem them. Here's some takeaways from today, and then we're going to pray. Number one, determine to take the next step to become a godly friend. What is it that needs to be hammered out on the anvil of your life? Is it an issue of character, shared commitments, genuine care, proven character, loyalty, and love? Or is it something related to ministry, faithfulness in ministry, willingness to be a stakeholder in the work, to be sacrificial in your service? So, number one, determine to take the next step to become a godly friend. Number two, prioritize character and ministry over skill and personality. Sometimes we're drawn to someone just because they're skilled, just because they have a personality that seems attractive and everybody else thinks that they're the kind of friend you need. Well, you may need to be that friend to them, but you also need to be making a priority of character and a priority of ministry. And then, number three, I hope everybody in here will do this. Tell someone who is faithful that they are precious to you. Tell someone who is a faithful friend that they are precious to you. You will be doing what Paul commanded this church to do. He said, hold them in high esteem. That word esteem means that they are precious to you. Tell someone that is faithful that they are precious to you. And then the fourth takeaway is repent of being a spectator only. Take the next step to becoming a participant in the work here. I don't know where you are in your journey in the life of North Central Baptist Church. This is a local New Testament church. We have an assignment, folks. We got work to do. We got the Bible to teach. We got young people to love. We got little children running around here who need to know that Christ is real. We got a lost world out here that needs to know Jesus is real in our community, in our state, in our nation, and then even in the world. We got to be busy. This is not just having meetings. Amen? Shake your head. You're hearing me. Good. Determined to take the next step. I don't want to be just a spectator. But Lord, give me a place I can be a participant in the work. Now let me say this. Sometimes you think in the job that you're in, the ministry that you're in, you wonder, is this really making a difference? Hey, can I tell you this? Jesus said this, if you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, he will remember it. I tell you what, probably the most significant thing, and I like to think that this is significant, what I'm doing right now. But I tell you what, there's probably somebody back there in one of those little rooms taking care of some little kids. Who knows, there may be diapers being changed right now. Let me describe what that would be. No, let's don't do that. I want to describe it. I'm not going to describe that. Can I tell you this? I would submit to you that that is just as important as everything we're doing right here. There are people coming in that were greeting you when you came in. Very important. There are people that were taught the Bible at 9:30. There are people that are making phone calls and visiting people and encouraging people. So you determine, I don't want to be a spectator. We've got musicians up here. I was thinking about that last number that the people stood at the end and we were worshiping the Lord. I looked over to my left and here was Reed over here playing his trumpet. You know, praise God, we got a trumpeter. Every church got to have a trumpeter. We got to have Reed. Reed's our trumpeter. And I tell you, Reed has been faithful. And Reed's over here playing that trumpet. He was the only one on that row. But he's playing that trumpet. Always the end of a song is. Hey, where's your place? Where's your place? I tell you what. Some of you may say, man, my dream is I want to get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house and a Ford Explorer. Can I tell you this? Life is so much more exciting than that. Now, don't get me wrong. That'd be nice to have that. I hope you get it. But I pray that you would come to the end of your life one day and you would realize, you know what, I was a part of something bigger than myself. The gospel mission of the Lord Jesus Christ through his local church. What an awesome, awesome privilege. And that's how you take joy in friendships, because you're doing that with people around you based upon character and based upon what's hammered out on the anvil of ministry. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.